Chapter 17. Babylon takes over again. Nebuchadnezzar's madness. After Ashurbanipal died, the Assyrian Empire fell apart, and Assyria's old enemies, the Babylonians, took over Assyria's land. The Babylonians wanted revenge. Assyria had destroyed Babylon, so now the Babylonians destroyed Nineveh, Assyria's most beautiful city. They broke down the walls and gates, ripped the doors off Ashurbanipal's great library, and smashed hundreds of his precious clay tablets. Fortunately, some of the books survived so that we can still read them today. Then the Babylonians settled down to rule their own empire. The Babylonian Empire wasn't quite as big as the Assyrian Empire because the Babylonians never took over Egypt, but it was almost as big. And for many years, the Babylonians were the most powerful people in the world. Babylon, the city flooded by Assyria, was rebuilt. The great Babylonian king Nebuchadnezzar, who became king around 605 BCE, spent much of his reign making Babylon beautiful again. He built huge walls all around the city to keep it safe from invasion. In one of the walls, he built a great blue gate decorated with yellow and white bulls and dragons, and named it after Babylon's chief goddess, Ishtar. Underneath this gate, a great parade passed every year in honor of Ishtar. The gate became famous all through Nebuchadnezzar's empire. Nebuchadnezzar was such a famous ruler that he became known as Nebuchadnezzar the Great, but he was not a happy man. Clay tablets and scrolls written during his reign talk about Nebuchadnezzar's madness. These stories say that for several years, Nebuchadnezzar actually lost his mind. One story about Nebuchadnezzar's madness is told in the book of Daniel, in the Bible. The story says that Nebuchadnezzar was a little too pleased with himself. He thought he was a god. He even made an enormous golden statue of himself, almost 100 feet high, and told all of his people to bow down and worship it. Here is the rest of the story. One day, the great king Nebuchadnezzar was walking on the roof of his palace in Babylon.
"Look at this beautiful city I have built," he said to himself. "I am the most powerful king in the world. No one is greater than I am, not even God."
As soon as he had said this, a voice came from heaven. "Nebuchadnezzar," the voice said, "you have become too proud. You think you are greater than God himself. Now listen to your doom. You will act like an animal and eat grass like a cow until you admit that God is more powerful than you are." At once, Nebuchadnezzar lost his mind. He ran out into the fields and lived like a wild animal. He walked on his hands and knees until his knees were as tough as hooves and his fingernails were as long as a bird's claws. He drank from the river, slept under bushes, and woke up in the morning wet with dew. His hair grew long and shaggy until he looked like a goat, and he ate grass like a cow. His people gathered around at a distance and watched him.
"What is wrong with the king?" they whispered. "He has gone mad."
Finally, Nebuchadnezzar looked up at the sky.
"I am not a god," he said. "I am only a man, and God is more powerful than I am."
At once, Nebuchadnezzar was sane again. He stood up on his feet. He looked around him and knew that he was the king of Babylon, not an animal. He returned to his palace in Babylon to rule his people once again, but never again did he claim to be a god. Now he knew that he was only a man. The Hanging Gardens of Babylon. Nebuchadnezzar, the great king of Babylon, sat on his throne and worried. He had a great empire, but what if another country attacked him? He wasn't sure that his army could defend Babylon from invaders, and he was very worried about Persia, a country to the east of Babylon. The Persians were expanding their own country. Their army was strong. He had heard frightening stories about Persian soldiers.
"I know what I'll do," he thought to himself. "I will ask the king of Persia if I can marry his daughter. Then he will be my father-in-law, and he won't want to attack me.
Nebuchadnezzar had never seen the daughter of the Persian king, but that didn't matter to him. He was willing to marry a stranger to keep Babylon safe. So he sent messages to the king of Persia offering to marry the princess. Meanwhile, the king of Persia was sitting on his throne worrying about Babylon. "What will I do if Babylon attacks me?" he thought. "Their soldiers are such good fighters. I'm not sure that we could defeat them. How can I convince Nebuchadnezzar to leave me alone?" Just then his servant entered with a message from Nebuchadnezzar.
"Sir," he said, "the king of Babylon has sent you a message. He wishes to know if you will give him your daughter in marriage."
The king of Persia was greatly relieved.
"Of course I will," he said. "Nebuchadnezzar would never attack his own father-in-law."
And he sent for his daughter, the princess Amytis. "My dear," he said, "the king of Babylon wishes to marry you."
"But I've never even met him,"
Amytis protested.
"And I don't want to leave my home in the mountains to live in Babylon. It's down on flat land, where the air is still and thick."
"If you marry him," the king of Persia said, "Persia will be safe from attack. You will be helping your whole country." Finally, Amytis agreed. She traveled to Babylon for the great wedding ceremony. As soon as Nebuchadnezzar saw her, he fell in love with her. He built her the most beautiful rooms to live in and filled them with lovely things. He gave her gold jewelry, clothes of silk, pet monkeys from China to play with, beautiful flowers to make her rooms colorful, and servants to do her every wish. But Amytis wasn't happy. She missed the cliffs and valleys of the Persian mountains. Most of all, she missed the gardens that the Persian people built on the hillsides.
"I want to go home," she said. "I don't want to live in Babylon anymore. It's so flat and dull here."
"How can I make Amytis happy?" Nebuchadnezzar thought.
And then he had an idea. He would build her a garden, a mountain garden, right in the middle of the city of Babylon. Nebuchadnezzar set to work at once. He ordered his slaves to haul huge slabs of rock in from far away. Out of this rock, he built an enormous hill, an artificial mountain. He covered the rock with dirt and planted it thickly with trees, flowers, and bushes. He had plants brought from Persia so that Amytis could see familiar flowers again. Nebuchadnezzar's men even built a pump that would pull water up from the Euphrates River to the very top of the garden. Then the water ran down the garden, just like a mountain river. Nebuchadnezzar ordered paths built up and down the mountain. Then he brought Amytis out to see what he had done.
"My dear," he said, "you cannot return to Persia. But I have brought a little bit of Persia to you. Now you can walk in your hillside garden whenever you want."
Amytis's garden became known as the Hanging Gardens of Babylon. People came from all over to admire the mountain Nebuchadnezzar had built in the middle of flat, hot Babylon. And every day, Amytis walked in her garden and pretended that she was back home in Persia. The Hanging Gardens of Babylon were so beautiful and so huge that they are now called one of the Seven Wonders of the Ancient World. The Seven Wonders are things that ancient people made or built that we still think are incredible even today. You have already studied about one of the Seven Wonders of the Ancient World, the Great Pyramid of Giza. Today you've learned about the second of the Seven Wonders, the Hanging Gardens of Babylon. Note to parent. Nebuchadnezzar reigned from 605 to 561 BCE.